ladies and gentlemen, this guy has come all the way from the European city of culture. He has come all the way from Liverpool. He is Mr. Brendan Riley.
Hello, hello. Thank you for that booing. That was really nice. Thank you. That's like a Mancunian wave, that, isn't it? Boo!
Get off, scarce knobhead.
Hello. So it's just weird with the hostility between Liverpool. It's typical of everywhere, right? It's always like all the war, the death, horribleness that's going on. It's just horrible, isn't it, folks? And to be honest with you, I don't understand half of it. I saw this headline in the paper. It just said, "Suicide bombers strike." Oh, cheeky bastards, right? They're going out killing people and they're going on strike as well. Could you imagine the picket line? What do we want? Bigger explosions. When do we want them? Who was that? Scab. Because, you know, whether you've got good jobs or bad jobs, folks, I reckon suicide bombing has got to be one of the shittest jobs invented. I reckon in Palestine they actually advertise at the job centre for suicide bombers. I love to be in the suicide bombers job interview when they come out with that classic cliche question. You got the job, nice one. One more question though. Huh? Where do you see yourself in 2 years' time? Everywhere, my friend. What gets me about the whole terror thing? It doesn't work. In the British Isles, terror doesn't work, I think. Terrorists don't scare us. Do they, folks? We scared?
No. Look, we're all going, "Nah, bring it on, knobhead."
You know, we're not northerners. Come on, son. So it's established we're not scared of terrorists, but George Bush comes on TV and we shit ourselves. And this annoys me as well. They say, don't worry about him. He doesn't make decisions. He's not in charge. He's what they call a puppet president. He is in charge. They bombed Afghanistan. What's the point of bombing someplace that's already fucked? It'd be like bombing Wigan. A B-52 today dropped its payload of bombs on Wigan and caused £11 worth of damage. Pies everywhere. Gravy running down the high streets. They don't understand that some problems need to be sorted out by different types of people. In Iraq, they should have sent not an army, a hen knight from Liverpool. I am telling you. You've seen him in action, haven't you? The Hercules lands, and 93 pissed scouse girls come out the back. All of them with a major face on, right? Because no one let them smoke on the flight on the way home. Could you imagine them questioning Saddam Hussein? He's sitting there in a holding tank for 2 days going, "Oh, how will the Western powers interrogate me? Oh, what questions will they ask to undermine the butcher of Baghdad?" And they send in Saguni, the 19-year-old bride, L-plated up, red horns on her forehead. And she stands there for 45 minutes just chewing a gum, staring at him, dragging on a ciggy. She breaks the silence right after 45 minutes with her key opening gambit. "What's with the tash?" "They went out years ago." "You look like Freddie Mercury, you knobhead." You're being nice nice audience. No real heckles, no hostility. Because when we do the gigs up and down the country, you always get some balloon head who's always at the back of the room going, "Get lost! Get off! You're not funny!" The best heckles I've ever seen, right? Sadly, we're at two stories. The first one was a really posh act. There was a gang of lads making noise at a bar, and all of a sudden, the guy went in, he ripped into them, and he goes, "Will you three please be quiet?" And one of the lads at the bar goes, "Sorry, fella, we're trying to have a laugh over here." Oh! And when the heckling is that effective, I think it's like a ninja heckle. You know what I mean? He's trained for years. Because the act will be on there with loads of confidence. He'll hit him with the punchline. He'll just go, bang! Normally the audience absolutely piss themselves as well. And the ninja runs across invisible, cuts all his confidence out of him and then clings on the wall, you know what I mean? The best heckle I ever saw, folks, there was a guy called Joey. First time on stage, I was doing a gig in Liverpool. By chances, when I first started, I was comparing this open night mic. And he's gone up to me, and he'd not been to drama college. He was an ex-Liverpool docker. And Joey had basically said to me, he goes, "Any advice?" And I said, "Joey, just go up there, be yourself. I'm sure if you're enjoying it, they'll enjoy you." He goes, "Oh, thanks, lad. I'm going to bring you on in 5 minutes. "Nice one, just go and get ready." So he goes off, I think, to mentally sort his head out. I don't know. Joey went on stage and he started doing old-fashioned types of jokes, not the new wave stuff. You know, he'd be going on just a ciggy in his gob, going, a fella walks into a pub with a kitten and an ostrich. And to be honest, right, it wasn't going down well, and it wasn't because Joey's choice of material was the old-fashioned style. It's because Joey had done something that he hadn't asked me about. Because Joey walked onto the stage, ladies and gentlemen, dressed as a bumblebee. And I don't mean a stripy T-shirt, right? I'm talking about the best bumblebee outfit you've ever seen in your life. Giant claw feet, sponge feet, stripy legs, tights on, pots of honey around his ankles, a big bumble bum with a sting. The head, right, was about 2 foot across, right? His face was the bumblebee's mouth. So Joey walks on stage, and about 8 minutes, and this word I think it went a little bit wrong, 8 minutes into his set, he hadn't mentioned the bumblebee suit once, right? So what the audience are faced with is a guy with a ciggy in his gob telling Burning Man in style jokes dressed as a giant bumblebee, right? Antennas, wings, the whole shebang, yeah? And I know for a fact we had a lot of graduates and a lot of students, and 2/3 of that audience, I think, thought they were having some kind of acid flashback, right? And individually, they were the only ones who could see the bumblebee, you know what I mean? Because if he stood there with his gigantic suit and gigantic head, just picking his drink up and going, "Anyway," so he said, "Bollocks to you, I'll get a taxi." And then, this where the gig went wrong for Joey. Joey wasn't getting the laughs, to be fair. A lot to do with his suit and stuff. He freaked the audience out. And mid-gag, he just starts, a gag goes, "So a postman walks into an alehouse, like..." And he just froze, staring at the audience, and he didn't help the job, he just goes, "What's wrong with you bastards?" I've done this job long enough to know, folks, that wasn't going to win him the gig. You know what I mean? Right. And this where the heckle came in, because a bloke stood up and he said, "Not being funny, pal, but I've seen real wasps funnier than you." Oh! Again, it was the ninja. The ninja, all the confidence, clinged off the wall job. And Joey's head went down and even his tentacles sagged. Dude. Oh, it's sad. He kicked off a pot of honey and everything, right? And then he started staring at the guy, his nemesis, who had heckled him with such... Because they knew they were all laughing at him and not laughing with him. And it wasn't... It was because of this guy, after all his efforts. And I'm coming onto the stage... As if to say, "At least you had the balls to do it, pal." You know, trying to build him up, trying to go, "At least you did it. You did your time on stage and stuff." And he's staring this guy out, and I thought, oh, my God, if this kicks off into a fight, it's going to be the funniest thing I have ever seen. A giant bumblebee wading into the front row, right? Trying to get him with his sting and everything, right? But good on him, he didn't. As I was coming onto the stage, John, not everyone heard this, folks, right? He looked at the guy and his nemesis, and he was, this is the line he was thinking of, and it was beautiful. He just goes, "I'm not a wasp. I'm a bumblebee." Ladies and gentlemen, you've been lovely having Brendan Riley.